What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Hang up on you.
Went to your voicemail.
Interesting. I must have pushed a button.
I pushed it. I pulled it. Jen Harris, did you see American Fiction?
I've not yet seen it.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'd like to see it.
It is excellent.
I was just thinking about and looking at a photo of Dustin Tucker, another person in American Fiction who was my roommate in high school. Who is
he's
the
in
guy
it for
in the,
maybe one moment. One,
well, his whole moment is in the preview, which is that's huge.
It's huge.
If you're gonna be in a movie for 12 seconds, you want
it
to
be in the trailer.
In the trailer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm just getting kind of spatially organized. Okay.
Yeah. Settle in. Everyone's settled down.
Because we know how long this is gonna be.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Hi. So I have to report that I did not watch Flowers Moons.
Right. Okay. Did you watch anything?
Yes.
Did you watch True Detective episode 3?
Horror. Absolutely. I love that.
Chilling.
I was chilled. I loved
it's
when the,
so
the man in the hospital gets possessed. Yikes.
It's wild. I was like, this is nightmares.
She really took it in stride. Like, she is really comfortable with spirits.
Well, it's something that I see in the, like, driving around at night. Or, I mean, it's always night, basically, but the psychology of that darkness, which, you know, we have a version of that as well.
Mm.
But, you know, that, like, you're kind of at a low-gray horror all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it seems like. So, like, just walking out into the blackness, that I think, one is always on the borderline.
So scary.
Excellent show. Excellent show.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. Episode 3 was, for me, better than episode 2, which, as you know, was a letdown for me.
I remember. Although, I'm sort of hard-pressed to say what actually happened in episode 3 as well.
Yes, that's true.
I'm okay
with somehow
that. I feel like it's just horror. We're just in this, like, nightmare space.
Yeah, where everything is scary and everyone's on edge.
Yeah. And it's just well-made and everything is compelling, even though sort of nothing is happening.
Yeah. I love Jodie Foster, lover.
So good.
Wait, okay, there was something else important I saw. Oh, okay. The thing I saw this week that was so good was Society of Snow.
I actually went back and watched more of it, the middle part that I didn't watch.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd watched some review talking about how they handled the cannibalism part. And
well done. I was very impressed by that film. I mean, obviously it's incredibly technical and like virtuosic filmmaking where you're like, how mm-hmm. they do this. And also the performances are beautiful and I mean, it's incredibly beautiful and incredibly devastating. It's really will have you feeling cold for 2 hours. So cold. Yeah.
So cold. There must be like a making there, of.
I saw it. I watched it already.
Wow.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It came on right when I finished the film. They were like, you would probably like this. And then it just started playing. And I was like, I do like this. Thank you so much.
They're watching you.
Yeah. The filmmaker himself, it seems like there's some toxic straight stuff going on there. And the way in which these actors were kind of trained to be in this movie seems not fun to me. It all seems very... like straight theater school stuff. It made me very uncomfortable. But look, I guess the proof is in the pudding.
This does feel like the opposite of Poor Things in that way. Mm. Like, you know, because they do like a kind of theater camp. It's, I guess, part of Yorgos's thing. Mm, they like mm-hmm. play games together for a month and mm-hmm, just kind of like. Mm-hmm. Improv and which is more of a thing of like creative energy of like, oh, what can we, let's like find stuff. And right. I doubt that this is that. This is more like the vibes we get from Andrew Scott sometimes.
Perhaps, yes.
But it's like seriousness.
Yeah. I mean, this director was very wise to cast a whole bunch of unknown young men who mm-hmm. aren't yet, like, mm-hmm. totally unbearable. So there's, like, this kind of, like, beautiful, natural spontaneity to their performances. Mm. There's, like, there's not a moment where you, like, kind of don't believe it. And, like, the director put them through this kind of, like, boot camp of training in these weird spaces and, like, trying to film the, like, double avalanche scene seemed like truly the worst thing you could go through as an actor. Like just watching the behind the scenes, I was like having such claustrophobia feelings. But I am deeply, deeply impressed by the film and I cried and cried and cried. My goodness, it really upset me.
Yeah, I also think you kind of need that. The hunger of like a young actor to go through those things. I watched this Michael Fassbender, one of those YouTube videos where they talk about all their movies or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about like how he wouldn't do Hunger again. Because he, mm-hmm. you know, basically went on this like starving diet.
Right, because when you're young and someone's like, you're the star of a movie, like, there's nothing you wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Literally anything.
And
your ambition
young.
Is great. Totally.
And you don't know the repercussions. And you're young and you're more elastic and all those things.
Yeah, true. I mean, these people had to, like, over the course of filming, lose so much weight. They were on these crazy restrictive diets. And, like, it was a very complicated way to film a movie. It took a very long time. Wow. And... like, technically, they were filming in all these, like, different versions of that plane space.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And, like, they had it both in, like, natural settings and not natural settings and with LED screens. But then also, like, it's very complicated.
Wow.
And that it looks so seamless and, like, believable the whole time. You're like,
crazy.
Okay, wow. But I have to say, like, I got to a place in the film... where I was like, they were like 9 days or 10 days. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so we have to be getting to the end. They're going to come get them now. Like, and I was like, this movie's almost over. And then I looked at the counter and I was like, oh, it's half
over.
Yes.
I had that same, and that's when I jumped to like the end. But,
I see.
But I had a similar experience with Naiad where I was like, okay, so we're like swimming to Florida,
right.
And then I'm looking and it's like we're not halfway yet, and I thought, how is this gonna work?
Right, well, these people are excavating ideas of the durational and they're gonna make us go through it too. But I
which,
was
you know it's different
impressed.
In a movie theater also because you're more absorbed and
I mean, people... I mean, spoiler alert, you can literally Wikipedia because this thing actually happened, but they were up there for 72 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why when I got to the end, I was like, oh, I guess they found, like, a lot of food in the plane. Because I didn't know this story was real or I don't know. I didn't know about it.
I didn't even get to the part with the eating cannibal.
No. The first time I watched it, I just was like, I can't be here anymore. Let's go to the end and see what...
Okay.
And then it's like 70 days, and I'm just like, what they be
eating? How'd they do it?
I guess they found some, like, Nutri-Grain bars or something. Well,
I mean...
Something like that. Eating that, like, on this... Ugh, goodness.
The discussion raw. The discussion that they have about eating, and mm-hmm. it's really, I was, for me, like, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, literally, it's so good. Eat.
Just, like, well, eat the bodies. But
I loved, in terms of the movie, that, like, people were sort of allowed to not, you know, it was like, you do you. I'm going to go you eat do this you. Thing.
The consequences, dire. Okay.
Yeah.
The consequences of not eating, it's not looking good.
But that fear of, like, yeah, what if they like, come in an hour later? So the alignment of, like, the discovery that,
yeah.
no, they aren't looking for us anymore because yeah. they find the radio. So,
yeah. That was wow. really, that was really sad. To have yeah. them all just, like, hear it said, like, we're not looking for
them anymore. How did
they know
that the snow, I guess they just knew that eventually the snow, all the snow melts seasonally that high up?
The people in the crash?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because
maybe
they
someone
did
there,
seem
like,
to know that, like, see, you know, or maybe they didn't really know that, and they were just like, well, winter is now, and it will end, and it'll
right.
get better.
I mean, when those three left to be like, we're walking to not
somewhere.
The snow, and I was like, this isn't gonna work. Like, when
and
they got to
they
that,
they do like a 5 minute like shots of just the perspective of endless
yeah.
mountains,
you're and you're like this is not gonna work for you. You can't do this. And then they do it.
They
because
it.
They, like, made that waterproof sleeping bag and, like, brought rotten human shit with them.
Goodness.
Oh, my God. Seeing all the, like, really stripped human bones mm-hmm. when they were finally picked up and there's just, like, nothing left. I was like, wow.
Bleak.
Wow. You really did it. You did what you had to do. Oh, my God. I mean, 17
I mean,
people
the
out of... 17
of, like,
out of 40 survived.
Crazy.
I know. That can't be good. I really did. I mean, like, watching them go into the space of hospital and, like, shout, be bathed, mm-hmm. and, like, it was really sad and wonderful, but horrible. The whole thing. What an insane, insane thing that really happened.
No, I mean, the impossible. Is that what it's called? The impossible?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also just, like, an unbelievable film.
Yeah.
That same... technical and, like,
yeah.
story.
But, Jeremy, you didn't warn me.
Oh, what should I have warned you about?
That at the beginning of the film, there was extreme human carnage in the plane, explicitly shown. It was so terrible for me.
I would have
liked to be warned.
I don't even remember. I don't. It, like, didn't even register.
Oh, you don't,
like,
remember?
Yeah, people are like
shins being broken in half by
sure,
by
sure.
footrests. I mean,
yeah, the
please.
Like collapsing of the airplane.
Oh,
it's incredible.
People being impaled by, like, steel beams. I mean, that was really intense. I mean. At that point, you want to go real quick, right? Like, if you're going to die
absolutely.
Like that.
Well, I think you are, but not everyone did, you know?
Nope. Some of them really took quite a long time to die. Oof. And to have gone through all that shit and then to die in the avalanche moment,
mm-hmm.
that was really, really tragic to me. Because, like, they were having a moment of, like, peace, you know? Where they were like, we're eating... We're, like,
mm-hmm.
keeping warm. We're getting to know each other. We're, like, settled into this, like, strange way of life. And then to have it all completely ruined and disrupted by this double avalanche moment. Wow. That was really brutal.
So scary. That is 'cause claustrophobia. Yikes.
Yikes.
Oof, goodness.
And also,
that
like,
so
suffocation. Don't want
well,
that.
Well, that's I think that's the feeling behind claustrophobia.
I did like that part in True Detective this week where the vet came to look at the bodies and was
uh-huh.
like, they
I was
they
just
did
thinking
not
about that too.
They
like,
didn't die of freezing. They
the
died
softness
of fear.
of dying from freezing.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah,
oh,
maybe that
nice.
Would be the way. Just like walk out into the snow and freeze to death.
Yeah. Well, that does seem to be like how the survivors who died. They were all like got kind of weak and then fell asleep and died.
Better. That's better.
I thought it was a really beautiful device to use that beautiful man as the narrator who you think obviously he's a survivor, but he's not.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that was clever. And he looked like a very refined Adam Driver, wouldn't you say?
Lots of beautiful people.
Many beautiful, beautiful people. Not a movie that celebrates women, certainly.
No. What else was I thinking about? Oh, I just watched this documentary that just came on Netflix about the making of that We Are the People song.
We Are the World?
We Are the World. We Are the Children. Whatever, we are the children. Whatever the song is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm like, well, because there's this thing where they basically choose to not invite Madonna, and they choose, what is her name even? Cindy Lauper instead, which I thought was odd.
I think
but
that's a good
Madonna's
choice.
Like a horror, great, you know.
Yeah, they're like, let's not invite this really evil, selfish person. Let's invite a nice person.
Well, but Cyndi Lauper is also known as, like, trouble, but in a different way.
Yeah, interesting. I heard tell on this other podcast that she was slated to do, like, a very early episode of Will and Grace, and then, like, there were problems, and she just didn't do it. I mean, she showed up, and then she just wasn't in it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways.
But I kept thinking, like, what, you can't have both? You can't, like, and it was so, there are a lot of, I don't know, in the end, like, women show up, but they're so not a part of this telling of this story in this weird way that I kept being like, why is this all men?
Oh, the We Are the World.
It is, like, all men kind of producing it, and, like, Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie is, like, kind of the face of the project. But yeah, there's like a weird man energy to the whole thing that I was kind of disturbed by. But
who are some of the other sort of famous folks?
Well, Bob Dylan is there in this kind of like humiliating way. Like, he looks like he's in a fugue state.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's just not, like, he, it's, and then he has, like, a solo at the end, and he's really, he is just, like, can't do it. It's so bizarre. Boy. It's absolutely bizarre. And then, what's his name? There's so many guys in this scenario, you know.
All these guys.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie. And they ended up doing this.
Paul McCartney, is he there?
No, Paul Simon is there.
None of the Beatles.
No, it's an American thing.
Oh, it's American US.
Because.
Okay. It's about Feed the Children, right?
Something, yeah. They had done something.
What children? Which children?
For African children.
African children.
The famine scenario.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. It's really well made. You know, it was like documented well during it. Because I think maybe they made a music video like from this footage of the making of it, basically.
I see.
But it is insane to see these people next to each other. Like, the Michael Jackson track of it is interesting to me. And I'm reminded of this line from American Fiction, which you haven't seen, but there's this line of, like, a person isn't their worst deed.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is like, really something to keep in mind.
It depends on the deed, I would say.
Well, I just think, like, we really it's part of like cancel culture, just like getting rid of people wholesale. Because another aspect of it is also like Michael Jackson is also the product of the culture, and like the sickness of the whole scenario is also, you know, there's like, I think that there's a way in which we think we can absolve ourselves as a society by just like deleting these people.
Oh, I think that this phrase does apply to Michael Jackson. Like, I think that in the context of his sins and his life and his complications, I think that's, it's interesting to think about. Like, yes, Michael Jackson is not, should not be completely defined by this one worst thing that he did. But there are others who've done different things where I'm like, yeah, they should be.
Well, there are people who have basically not done anything other than their evil deeds. You know, like their entire like existences were kind of evil. Like, what's his name? I was just thinking of Donald
Hitler.
Trump.
Hitler. Oh, well, you're Donald Trump.
You know,
for
like
sure.
A Hitler vibe, or yeah. Anyway, I like can't think of anyone's name today, so it's fine.
Okay.
They're
out there. Yeah. You know, irredeemable. The irredeemables. Is that what is? Oh, that, what did Hillary call them? Deplorables.
Basket of deplorables.
Yeah. Basket of deplorables.
They're all living up to it.
No, that's a very interesting quote to think about in the context of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jackson's a clear like genius kind of person.
Who also did
awful things.
Well, he got really messed up by celebrity. It really, and his family, and a lot of other things, you know. But
yeah,
I mean, it's not, it's impossible to be that famous without like dire consequences.
I don't know if impossible, but I think extremely difficult.
Right. Like who's handled that kind of like global knownness well?
Well, hard to, I mean, we don't personally know any of these people. So
Queen
we are
Elizabeth.
Only, what?
Queen Elizabeth. Right? She really took a hard line. She was like, I'm not changing, and I'm going to live to be really old, and,
yeah, but that's an entirely different, like, kind of scenario.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, I would say, like, a Beyoncé, but I do think the thing is, like,
she's
about a hard boundary.
Yeah.
And she really was, like, no to, like, the kind of celebrity game, which I think is really fierce.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm gonna use the celebrity and not be used by it.
Hmm.
But I don't know her.
Beautiful.
I don't know these people. So, like, who knows what their, like, actual lives are. So, and I think that's what it, like, that's what it's actually about. Like, what does your day-to-day existence look like in response to, like, the...
I think it sucks. I think it's both, like, incredibly cushy and incredibly restrictive, and I think you have to rely on other people for everything. And I think that that's really hard. I think that you can't just like leave your home and just do whatever you want. That really sucks.
Yeah, that sounds really nice to me. But, you know, like your home is like immense. You know?
Yeah. But, like, what if you, like, want to go to...
Trader Joe's?
Like, oh, no, yeah,
thanks.
Exactly. Or, like, what if
I'd
you want to go...
I'd rather have Trader Joe's delivered to me. Thank you so much.
What if you want to go, like, wander around a museum?
You buy it. You make a music video there. You're like, whatever. Like, you're like, close the museum. I'm coming through. Thanks. And they're like,
yeah,
oh my goodness.
I don't like it.
I do like it. I want to be rich and famous, but have no one around me.
Well, the,
you know,
the good
it's
thing
like
about
you have
you,
to use
Jeremy,
the power that it comes with to be like, no.
Is that I think that even you could become rich and famous and still nobody would know who you are, which would be great. Because you would be, you're not camera facing,
well,
you know?
Right, right, right. Well, that's the variance there. You know, it's like, but the most famous people are the people who are front facing, you know, but like.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually Lionel Richie, because he was in a group. I don't even know what the group was, you know, and then he went solo and no one knew who he, you know, there's a line that's like, you know, everyone knows your songs, but no one knows who you are.
Everyone knows your songs.
And then,
yeah.
You know, they like make him famous. And,
yeah.
You know, they recorded the song after an American Music Awards event in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Because it was like an opportunity to have all those people together.
Yeah.
But Lionel Richie was literally hosting the award show.
Uh-huh.
And won 6 awards.
What?
He was like famous that year and was like winning, you know, and hosting. And
wow.
Then like afterwards went to the studio with like the most famous musicians in the world and like made the song that he co-wrote with Michael Jackson. It's insane.
What?
So... 1985, January of 1985, which is the year I was born.
I was so. 4 years old, 4, going on 5, but many months later, I was 4.
Huge Lionel Richie fan.
Wait, I had a thought yesterday. I
no
don't
way.
Care about Lionel Richie.
No,
I don't care about him. I care that he is the father of Nicole Richie, who I think is much more interesting.
Isn't that something?
I think that she is one of the most charming people based on that amazing show she was on with.
I didn't realize Dakota Johnson was the daughter of some that famous guy. I don't even know who is, what his name is, but he's
Don
like,
Johnson and Melanie
like,
Griffith.
From like whatever. And Melanie Griffith. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Miami Vice and Melanie Griffith.
She's not a good actress, right?
Melanie?
Dakota?
Oh, she is actually.
She's in this movie
good.
That she looks really terrible.
I thought she was pretty good in that movie you didn't like with
in
Olivia
Suspiria?
Colman. No. In the
Oh
Fronte
my
movie.
God, that awful daughters that.
Yeah, but I thought she was good in it.
We didn't really watch it because it was. Just so
the way that you pass judgment on things you don't watch.
Nuts.
Incredible.
Well, it was bad.
Yeah, but you have to go through the process and then see how you feel on the other end. Because sometimes things change.
That one was too much to bear.
I
watched the whole of Saltburn.
Yeah, me too. But that was just morbid curiosity.
That was like feeling obligated to pass judgment.
Yeah, that was like, I want to be able to trash this movie, so I have to watch the whole thing. Or else, like,
yeah.
I can't be accountable for, you know, like, I was like, I need to be a responsible hater right now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. That's generally how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think I like Dakota Johnson in some things, and... Yeah, that's all I have
I
to
watched
say about
a
that.
Little bit. I scrubbed through the third sex movie. What is that?
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow. They get married at the beginning, and it's absurd. But
it's for... Those movies aren't for us.
Well,
no.
Absolutely not.
No. They're not for us. I saw... speaking of Jamie Dornan, okay?
Incredible.
Since we're on the topic of... I did a rewatch of Marie Antoinette this week.
Interesting.
And I have not seen that film in 100 years, at least.
Yeah.
And I'll start with the positives. Looks great. Looks really beautiful. Great costumes. Kirsten Dunst, incredible. One of America's great performers. I'm so glad we have her.
Where is she? I need another movie.
And she's so well captured in this movie, like...
She's a great celebrity person.
Yeah.
I think she's really survived it well.
She really has. The ways in which Kirsten Dunst is framed photographically in this movie, astonishing. Like, print me out some still images from this film, please. I will put them on my wall. This is a music video.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not a movie. It's a 2-hour music video. And I guess that is a thing, but...
I'm very curious about Priscilla.
I didn't watch it.
I haven't seen it.
All right.
I think because of that.
But The Beguiled, loved. Absolutely.
Loved. That beautiful comedy film she made afterwards that was like a... like, it was bad.
I don't know that. What's that?
It was just like a kind of like regular movie.
Weird.
It takes place in New York City with... with what's his name again? Really can't do anything names.
You're okay, it's okay.
Bill Murray.
Oh, no, didn't see that.
But yeah. The Beguiled The Beguiled was excellent, but wonderful. That movie was almost shot for shot a remake.
Oh, interesting.
So I think plot is like not really her thing.
Right. Well, she forgot to get a writer on Marie Antoinette, it seems like. It was like...
Well, I don't know that she was interested in that, you know?
I guess so. A lot of the dialogue seemed completely improvised. And I'm not kidding. I think she was just like, just go over there and like have a little fun. I'm going to film you in your dresses. And there are so many famous people in that movie that you forget are in it. And watching it again, I was like, what's happening right now? I didn't remember that. Molly Shannon, Tom Hardy, Jamie Dornan, Simon...
What was her movie right before that?
Was it Lost in Translation?
Yes, I think that makes sense. Because it does, you know, it is like a Beau is Afraid kind of thing, where you're like, somebody was willing to give you a lot of money, and you did what you wanted to do, and it's... Mm. Not really a movie that works.
No.
But it's, you know, spectacular.
It really is. I mean, it's hard not to, like, take great joy in so much of the photography of that film. But at the mm-hmm. same time, I was like, I can't hear what anyone's even saying because these stupid fucking pop songs are being given, like, audio priority. I was like, mm-hmm. this makes no sense. But I guess it wasn't about the dialogue. It really was about putting these dumb songs over top of the film. Anyways, yeah, I don't like that kind of music.
That's true. Pop music.
Whatever that music was in that movie, it wasn't for me.
I don't really... It's like... Is it 80s it's music?
No.
I don't really
What are
remember.
The Strokes? What are the Strokes? What is that?
Oh, it's sort of like a grungy...
Yeah, it's like indie pop, rock, mm-hmm. what have you. I don't like that. And whatever. I guess it was a way of doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Marie Antoinette. The other thing I did was I went to the library symposium.
Oh, right. The Martha Graham presentations.
And when I say I went, I went like I've never gone before. I was there for the 9:30 breakfast. Okay.
That's crazy.
And then I was there the whole day. I opted to leave the theater for Lloyd's presentation at the end of the day because people didn't have enough
seats.
Right,
you watched from the videos.
I watched from the videos.
That was kind of you.
You're welcome. and there were some great presentations, and also, like, yeah, I mean, it was very all over the place, which is good.
Yeah.
I think it shows, like, what are the possibilities of doing presentations in this context? Well, sort of infinite. Mm. I mean, mm-hmm. someone who is a teacher, he's South African, I guess, but he, like, went to college in England, and he's whatever. He works at this, like, Cornell campus that's on Roosevelt Island that's about technology.
Okay. Oh yeah, I think I saw Bill Gates there or something.
Oh,
in a documentary.
Well, he made a PowerPoint presentation that was literally like an Apple launch. I was like, this is such a PowerPoint presentation. It was completely disorienting. I was like, I've never seen anything like this in this context at all. I was like, this is the craziest thing I ever saw. It felt bad to me, but also it was impressive. And he was explaining how he did this like technology project to like uplift female artists and kind of like make an application where it's possible to experience like these visual installations in spaces where that are kind of like devoid of like female representation.
Okay.
So like, for example, there's a statue of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in this park on Roosevelt Island. And like, if you're using this app, you can like hold your phone up to that place and it will like change the bust to Eleanor Roosevelt. And then there's these like big white rectangular stone walls all over the place. And like, you can go over to them and it'll show you like films of like famous female modern dance pioneers, like Helen Tamaris and Martha Graham and, Hanya Holm. And, I was fine. I mean, it was excruciating, but it was impressive. Same time.
Okay.
Same time.
So all of this is going to be live streamed on this Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm picking up like how it could be really bad, but like also crazy, which I love. So I want to.
Yeah, I think you'll appreciate the crazy. It was like uber scripted. I was like, whoa. Okay, then this person, Alexa West, who is one of the Paget founders and is a sculptor, did a presentation about the sculptural and prop elements of the Martha Graham catalog, and that was really thrilling for me. I'm like, I love this presentation. I love it. And great. She made a kind of her own dance and sculptural set piece in conversation with the Noguchi Graham legacy. And this performer, Noah, performed a solo, and it was so good.
Great.
I was like, great. I love this. Virginie, who's the was a Graham dancer and is the director of like their repertory ensemble or whatever, she made these two reconstructions or reimaginings of lost solos.
Great.
And those were incredible. Leslie and Ying did the performances, and Karen Young made the costumes from the 30s or whenever the solos were from.
Wow.
And it was so, so good. I was like, and to watch something like that at 10:45 in the morning, it's a lot to take. It's a lot to take.
Well, but that's that's a lot, all of that. Yeah.
What do you mean? What I've told you?
Yeah.
Well, that was just part of it. I mean, then there were three other presentations.
Right.
There was Lloyd. There was a Korean-American person who used to dance for Graham who did a presentation about this Korean dancer who kind of performed under a Japanese name around the world.
Oh, interesting.
And ended up being purged after the Second World War when... Yeah. It's a really sad story, but very interesting. What was the last one?
I think Lloyd was last.
Oh, no, there was a woman did a presentation about Emily Dickinson, the Emily Dickinson Martha Graham piece, which is called...
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? A Window... I can't remember.
I don't know.
Anyways, there was just so much incredible Martha Graham footage that day, and I was really inspired anew by her, what she's left us with. I mean, really incredible pieces. Incredible pieces. I can't urge you strongly enough to go and watch old Martha Graham videos. They're amazing.
Which
ones? I would highly recommend watching Errand into the Maze. It has some amazing costume sculptural things going on. Highly recommend a rewatch of Appalachian Spring. incredible choreography, just amazing. Highly recommend watching. Gosh, some of the names really elude me.
Well, do we want to read this book?
Oh, Frontier.
I'm just seeing that.
Yeah, you gotta watch Frontier, one of her early works where she does a solo with this Noguchi Fence. American Document. There's just a lot.
Do we want to read this Deborah Jowett book?
I'd love to read a Deborah Jowett book. But there's a lot of Martha biographies.
Well, this one's new.
Great. Let's do it.
I've requested it from the library. I don't even know if it's out yet. But
okay.
But yeah, I think it'd be nice to do it this other way where, like, you know, every week we do a chapter or whatever.
I love
that.
Whatever
the book. And then our y'all can read it along with
us. Yeah, we'll do a read-along. We'll actually do it in real time. Each week we'll read a chapter out loud so we don't have to come up with any ideas for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. We'll just read it out loud.
It'll just be an audiobook. We're actually just making Deborah's audiobook for her.
Slay. Okay, well, stay tuned. Stay tuned on that.
Yeah. And congrats. Bravo, Martha Graham. Bravo.
Way to go,
also,
girl.
All this to say, you actually can't really watch American Document. There's no complete footage of it. But, anyways, there's a lot of clips in the library.
Fragments.
What else did I do this week? I went to the ballet with Pam Tanowitz.
What did you see?
Well, we saw Fancy Free and In the Night. And
what's In the Night?
It's a Jerome Robbins ballet that was made after he made Dances at a Gathering, and it's three duets to Chopin piano solo music, and it was made on Kay Mazo and Anthony Blum, the first duet. Anthony Blum, is that right? I could be wrong. Someone's out there screaming.
Can't hear
Violet,
you. Can't hear you at all.
Violet Verdi and Peter Martins were the second duet.
Ugh.
And then the third duet was Patricia McBride and Francisco Molcion, maybe? That could be wrong. But it doesn't matter. It's a dance that's frequently performed. It's a very, like, it sort of seems to be about, like, how people love each other, or how people are in relation
straight
to one
people.
Another. Absolutely. Straight vintage people. Vintage straights.
Doesn't sound great.
It has some beautiful things, I will say. And the music is top notch. And then the third dance was The Seasons, which is a high camp Jerome Robbins ballet to Verdi music, which is basically like, it's like a Liberace ballet fantasy. It's truly stupid, but it has some fun stuff. It has some exciting dancing for the dancers.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's a stupid dance.
Rockin' Robbins program.
It's the magic of Jerome Robbins. He really tried a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it was really fun to watch with Pam, and we were laughing and laughing. And we sat in the, during one of the intermissions, we went out and Wendy and her husband David were there because David has the slow dancing installation inside the mezzanine right now. Do you know what that means?
Slow dancing installation?
So David Michalek many years ago did these slow, very, 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 very slowed down, high definition films of famous dance figures in New York, like Bill T. Jones and Shen Wei and Monica Bill Barnes and Wendy Whalen and like, so just everybody.
Okay.
And they had a triptych of them hung outside of New York State Theater all summer, or like for several weeks one summer, and you could just go lay in the plaza and watch them. And like, basically he takes like 5 seconds of dancing footage and slows it down to like, I don't know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes or something. It's incredibly slow. but so now there's like a a riff on that installation where it's just like New York City Ballet dancers doing New York City Ballet repertoire in New York City Ballet costumes, and they have a triptych of them inside the lobby, so you can at the intermissions enjoy those, and it's nice.
I see.
Anyways, Pam and I were sitting there watching. I was sitting on this one of their sculptural furniture pieces, and Pam was in the bathroom, and then suddenly someone was sitting beside me but facing the opposite way, so we were like sort of side to side but looking opposite directions, mm-hmm. and it was Wendy, and she was like, hello, and she gave me a hug, and she was like, wouldn't it be nice if we had a toilet like this?
She's the best.
She's really the
best. That is incredible.
That's
so fun. Oh, that's good.
So that happened.
The ballet. Oh my goodness.
What else? I really, at this point, I just take a great deal of pleasure watching my peers who are still dancing. I find it just so comforting and inspiring that there's just like this handful of people who are still out there, like
fighting the good fight.
Yeah, and bringing like a different kind of experience to the stage. It's like, mm-hmm. I've been out here 100 million times. Like, I'm offering something else.
Yeah.
I love that. So that was ballet. I'm going back tomorrow to see the new Tyler Peck and a work that we designed for Justin before the pandemic called Rotunda, and an older Ratmansky piece called Odessa. So I'm going back tomorrow. I'm excited.
Cool.
So cool. And what else is happening? I missed line dancing last night because I went to the ballet, and that was hard. That was really hard for me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like only because Pam was there, was that okay?
Absolutely. I would absolutely have canceled going to the ballet or not even agreed to go to the ballet if it wasn't Pam.
Yeah.
But I...
Zone of Interest on Friday. So we'll talk about... You gotta go see American Fiction. You gotta.
Really?
It's a great movie.
Is it on television?
I don't think so.
Oh, I have to go to a movie theater. Okay.
I can do really that. Was impressed. Very impressed.
Maybe I'll do that today.
It's a movie that a lot of people try to make and fail miserably.
Okay.
And this is a really, I think, you know, through the movie, I was like, this is really good, but I don't know that it's like Academy Award. But by the end, I was like, slay. Because
the whole Academy Award thing, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, this is truly stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, I keep thinking of how the Golden Globes did that category of like,
Box office
trash. And it's like, I mean, in a way that's kind of better than trying to award those movies as if they should be normal.
Yeah.
Congratulations
on bringing people to the theater. That is an accomplishment.
Well, and like, let's give you an award for making a lot of money. Like, what sense does that make? And that actually does come up in American Fiction, and so you should watch that movie. But yeah, I'll be seeing Zone of Interest this weekend. Very excited, very excited. And we'll talk about that next week. And
You know what I'm kind of excited about?
No, I don't.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the remake TV show, it's coming out
great
tomorrow or February 2nd.
Really?
Whatever that is.
Parker's in that.
I'm excited, and I love Maya.
Yes.
I love them.
It
yeah.
looks like a... I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw a trailer for that in the movie theater.
I saw a trailer for
true?
It somewhere. I saw a trailer somewhere.
I thought, this looks excellent.
No, we watched a trailer for it at your house.
No, but I also think I saw a trailer for it in a movie theater. Because it's Amazon, I suspect, is how that happened. But yes, I'm also excited to see the Capote Swans.
I don't know.
Show.
I
mean,
know.
I'm not saying it's going to be good, but I am excited to see it.
Okay. I'll have a look at it.
Like, those women.
Love.
Yes.
Chloe.
Like, it's going to be
Diane.
Nuts.
Naomi. It's like the supermodels.
But not. Exactly.
Molly Ringwald. Molly Ringwald. Who would have thunk?
Who would have gethunkened? Erica Alexander is in American Fiction, and it's wonderful.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
She was on The Cosby Show as, like,
oh,
I don't know, like a cousin or something, I think.
Was she the oldest daughter?
Single.
I feel that she was the oldest daughter.
No, I think
daughter.
She was, like, a cousin.
Oh, I know. I know. She's, like, very silly on The Cosby Show.
Yeah, she's, like, really quirky.
Yeah, I remember her, yeah.
Oh, here it says Pam Tucker. Pam.
Pam.
I do remember
yeah.
that, but I...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm excited
but she,
to see that.
Her energy is so wonderful. I'm like, I want to see movies just, like, with you as the starring character. I loved every second of her stage presence.
Perhaps she'll have a resurgence.
I certainly hope so. And everyone in this movie is excellent. Anyway.
Hey, if you're in Chicago, any listeners, go see Chicago. What?
Illinois. Chicago. No, I literally felt the same thing. Go see Chicago in Chicago. Wait.
No, go see Illinois. It's now playing.
They should do
the
like
Chicago
a double feature with Chicago.
Yeah. Totes.
And all that jazz.
And I'm gonna rouge my knees.
Yeah.
Rouge my knees. Yeah, that's correct.
And if you're not in Chicago, go see it at the Armory.
Yeah,
5 weeks
that's,
or something.
That's in New York. Yeah,
tickets.
Beginning of March.
That's so soon.
Wait, I thought of something fun to tell you, and then you kept talking about Erica Alexander.
Oh my God, she's so wonderful.
Stop talking about, don't do it.
Erica Alexander.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, it's such a great movie. Yeah, I had to close my eyes during that Zone of Interest preview again.
Oh, good. Close your ears and close your eyes.
I did hear some of the music. Very, very sparse.
There's a lot of sounds in the film.
Very excited. Dune's coming out in March, I think. Finally.
Oh, thank God. It's been 5,000 years.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Hmm.
Gosh. Wait, no. There was something really fun I wanted to talk about, and
then you made
me forget it.
Oh, no.
Did you find out
where Merce's ashes are?
No, I didn't do any research around that.
No one told us.
Cunningham, Merce, the house.
Oh my God, I've been making more tender heart food.
Oh, yes?
Fennel ice cream was tremendous. I'm going to make it again.
Wow.
It's Jack's birthday tomorrow.
How do you make ice cream?
No churn. It's a no churn recipe.
Wow.
So good.
Oh my gosh, thanks for reminding me it's Jack's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
Everyone, send news to Jack Ferver tomorrow.
I'm making an ice cream cake. A flourless chocolate cake with this fennel ice cream.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
I actually need to do it today.
You better get to work. You
better
work. Cover girl!
yes, but I made... We had people over on Saturday, and I made a full tender heart meal. This, like, tremendous mushroom pate. Oh, delish.
Just as a spread to put on
crackers?
As
an appetizer, yeah.
Yummy.
And then, what did I make? It's basically a snow pea cacio pepe recipe.
Oh, my yummy.
Which was not, like, you know, groundbreaking, but was delicious, certainly. And something else. Oh, and the fennel ice cream I made for that. It's all delicious.
Yum. I made a very, very not particularly good Melissa Clark pear coffee cake.
Pear and coffee.
It was a crumb cake. It was a crumb cake, but it just is, you know, in that category of cakes.
Do you just put the pears on top?
You make a cake batter, you do this, like, sautéing of pears, you put the pears on the batter, and then you cover it in a crumb topping. Too much effort, really not a great cake. I don't recommend.
There's that coffee and coffee cake. It's for eating with coffee.
Now, there is some coffee cakes that have coffee in them, but not this one.
Yeah.
Where is Claire? Please come back. I'm losing my mind. I'm over it. Oh, you know what I did make? I made a Claire Patreon recipe, which is these chocolate balls. What are those called?
Chocolate balls.
No, when it's chocolate in a ball, but it's like kind of soft to eat.
Chocolate balls. I have no idea.
Like
chocolate balls?
What are those called?
No idea.
They're not like bonbon macaroon, but it's not that. It's something else.
Chocolate balls.
What? No, I hate you.
Move on.
But anyways, they're made with melted chocolate and olive oil.
No. They're candy.
They're sort of like candy. They're not hard. They're soft like fudge.
Fudgy balls.
Yeah, and they're olive oil and chocolate and like a egg yolk that's whipped with the olive oil to turn it into... It's almost like you mix chocolate and an aioli in a weird way. I'm sorry. I'm describing this in the craziest fashion. And then you like roll them around in pistachios and they're absolutely delicious.
Chocolate balls.
They're olive oil chocolate balls. That's all I can say. I can't remember
what they're called.
It was pistachios. They're not for allergic people. Don't give them to allergic people.
Our guest on Saturday, I think, went to like high school with Molly Boz. But we didn't talk about it. It's just something that went away.
I sensed that she was very popular in high school.
Yeah, she seems like someone who's had a very privileged life.
Yeah, privileged and fun. She seems like grateful in a way.
Easy going.
Yeah, she's having a good time. She's having a great time.
She made something. I can't remember. Anyway, isn't that interesting?
Oh my god, I cannot believe I completely forgot the thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Can't even remember the fun thing.
It sucks for me right now. Oh.
Well, write it down, and we'll be doing this again next week.
I really do need to start writing these things down, don't I?
Yeah, just use your notes.
I love the notes app. I've really taken to it.
Yeah, you gotta use it. Groceries.
I now like this app called Journal showed up on my phone. That show up on your...
Yeah.
I actually started using it. I was like, I can write stuff down
in here. I'm pretty sure that like goes right into like...
Yeah. Gives the internet.
Yeah.
Because then,
why don't you write all your life down here for us?
They do occasionally be like, hey, why don't you write about when you just went to the Whitney? And you're like, I don't need you to know that. Okay?
They are telling you what they want you to tell them. And then it goes right on to like a review page on Google of the museum. Incredible.
Oh, I'm depressed that I can't remember. Too bad for me. Too bad for me.
Okay, it's time to go. Yes. But thanks for listening.
I will say one thing. I watched this show on Netflix that was like a very, I think, 3-part documentary series about these people who, this woman who gets kidnapped, basically.
Is this like that, what they're pushing, this like American Nightmare or whatever?
Yes, it's American Nightmare.
I'm not watching these things anymore.
And I have to say, like, I had to check myself during it because, like, they tell it in this way. First, the man involved tells the story. Then the woman involved tells her version of the story.
Okay.
And they don't really let you know for quite a while, like, what is the nature of this man and woman's relationship post the incident.
Okay.
Because at many points along the way, you're like, who is lying? You know? And the whole thing is, like, all these comparisons are drawn to Gone Girl because it happened, like, immediately following the movie release of Gone Girl, and it had, like, shades of Gone Girl. And when the woman was telling her version of the story, I was like, she's lying. She's lying.
Okay.
And then she wasn't. So I feel bad for the way in which I...
Well, women are notorious liars. What can we say? Lesson
because
learned.
I absolutely bought into this, like, Gone Girl mania that the press bought into. Anyways.
That's not in the documentary itself, though.
It is.
Oh, it is. They're pushing that Gone Girl vibe.
Yeah, because they're, like, showing all these, like, people who were involved in the coverage of the event being, like, mysteriously close to Gone Girl, you know? And
I
was, like...
I thought that was, like, just, like, promos or something, you
know? No, but...
the show.
At the end of the day, this really crazy thing did, in fact, happen to these people. I guess spoiler alert.
Do you
want to
spoiler alert what their relationship is now and stuff?
They're doing great. They have kids.
Oh, and it's all fine.
Well, yeah, because actually...
Did they produce this documentary to make money?
I have no idea. It seems... I don't know. It doesn't seem like they need any. Seems like they're fine. But very interesting story.
Did people die?
Nobody died.
Nobody died. It's just like it's just a wild story.
Yeah, it's like...
Was anybody hurt?
I mean,
do you
want to
just tell us the
story? Yeah, no, really, yes. Okay, so, like, this man and woman who were physical therapists and were dating and were kind of involved in a complicated dating situation at work because the man's ex-girlfriend or ex-fiancé or whatever also worked at this physical therapy place.
Okay.
So that's important to know because there was a lot of, like, complicated jealous feelings going around amongst sort of everybody. And then one night... the people who were dating, these two people got home and the woman was abducted in the night.
Right. Okay.
By a man.
And this is the woman, the same woman that's narrating the story?
Well, the guy initially is the narrator. Uh-huh. And he's
and
like,
then it's the
he's
abductee.
Like, we went to sleep, we were woken by this guy, he took the girlfriend away, and then I wait, and then the real mystery is that he didn't call the police till, like, the morning, you know, like...
He woke up and she was gone, and he was like, ugh,
no,
whatever.
He was awake, and she left, but then the guy who was the abductor sedated
them.
He
was awake when this person came into their house?
Well, or woken up. Definitely woken up by the person who was like, I'm taking your girlfriend. And he was like, no. But then he sedated them both. So then he was like asleep. And then when he finally woke up and the drugs wore off, he called the police and they were like, so why'd you wait so long, doll? And he had this story that seemed very suspicious. And so they interrogated him in the way that they do at these detective places where they're like, so just tell us why you killed her. And he's like, what? And he doesn't fall for it because he's actually telling the truth, which, like, you kind of don't know initially. You're like, what is going on? And they're basically just like, tell us that you hurt her, tell us that you did. And he's just like, I didn't. I literally reported this crime to you. And now he's like,
no,
and he's
this guy came in and gave me a pill and I said goodnight.
Yeah. And now he's like, I'm gonna need a lawyer. And that's when they sort of have to stop interrogating him. Anyways, Cut to...
So, moral of the story, just ask for a lawyer from the beginning.
Cut to a couple few days later. Like, this man's life is truly falling apart because everyone's like, you killed this woman. You killed her. And she... They have this incredible footage that was taken from, like, someone's porch cam of her just, like, walking into her dad's house in a town some few hundred miles away.
Okay.
And she's alive and well. She shows up at the house, and she's just like, hey.
Okay.
And somewhere in the middle of that, she did call and leave a message on someone's phone being like, I have been kidnapped. I am alive. And it's so nonchalant that it's, like, very confusing. Okay. So then they cut to she's telling her version of the story.
Okay.
And
are we still... Are we in part two now?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Now she's like, well, I... Basically, her version of the abduction is the same. And you're like, okay.
Okay.
And then now she went to sleep. She's sedated. She wakes up in a car trunk or whatever, and she's not in her town anymore. She's, like, trying to use context clues to understand where she's being driven, like, directions and whatever. Anyways, she ends up in this house, and the person who's abducted her is basically made up this story that's like, you know, the people who've made me do this to you, they, like, want me to do X, Y, and Z. They want me to take a video of me fucking you to, like, as collateral. And so he does that, but then he does it again. And he's like, now this time...
Okay, you have so to he's make... raping her.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Keep going. And so just over a period of, like, 3 days, she is, like, in this house being raped by this guy, and she has no idea what's going to happen to her, and then he drives her to her dad's house, essentially.
And she gets out and walks in the house.
Yep.
Nonchalantly.
And then all the press coverage of it was like, these people are liars.
I see.
And it's, like, unclear what their motives are, but...
So, okay.
Keep so, going. Basically, she's treated like a liar by this, like...
Do they ever find this person?
Well, years later. Because in another township, another police department, they are on the hunt for some guy who's, like, abducted a woman, and it's like a very similar chain of events and use of materials and, like, these goggles, and, like, it's eerily similar. This police department doesn't know that it's similar, but eventually they start, like, looking for clues, and, like, this female detective, like, makes a connection to that other case, and she's like, wait a minute. And then she starts reading up on the case, and she's like, this is exactly the same. And then they, like, find a blonde hair. It turns out to be the original woman's hair. And basically, she cracks the case, absolves them of any, like, of being implicated in this crime. Like, but for years, these people were gaslit into being...
But do they find the person?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And he's just some, like, Ivy League weirdo.
Wow.
Yeah, who just, like... has a, like, really violent fetish where he abducts women and rapes them, and, you know, he has like, a very specific methodology to it. But at any
it's
rate...
It's very, the house that Jack built.
I don't know that. Do I know
Lars von Trier movie.
I will not watch
just
that.
Like, a casually insane person.
Oh. Okay, anyways, I'm sorry I ended up telling the story of that documentary, but, it's interesting.
Well, it was good. It's better than watching it.
It was well done, I have to say. It kept me...
Okay.
It was suspenseful.
Well, it's crazy. Yeah, and I think it's smart to throw people towards this Gone Girl thing, and then... It's just, like, a run-of-the-mill insane person raping women.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But, I mean, part of the way they tell the story that's so effective is that they set up at the beginning that...
His and hers.
That this woman has a history of being sexually abused, and they're, and I guess, like, historically, like, sexually abused women often kind of make up these scenarios or constructions to, like, be sexually abused again, or, like, they have a fetish about, like, I don't know. I don't know if this is true, but it's probably something men made up, but,
Sounds like that.
But it sounds a little bit like Elle, the Isabelle Huppert thing.
Sure.
But I think they were trying to characterize this woman as that, and she's like, I'm not. And they were like, we don't believe you. We don't believe you.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyways.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And I hope you enjoyed the roller coaster.
What's it called? Like American Nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
American.
Well, that was fun.
Hope you enjoyed American Nightmare, everybody.
Join us next week for
my very, very clumsy retelling.
Less rape and more Scrabble.
I'm going to watch American Fiction this week, I promise you.
You must. You must go watch it.
And I'm going to watch The Holdovers. I'm going to watch The Holdovers, but I still don't know if I can watch the Martin Scorsese
movie. Are you going to the theater? Are you watching it online?
I don't know, but
because
I'll
think it's online and, like, you know,
but it's like $20 online.
Well, but I also think it's streaming on one of the things, on like Peacock or something.
I don't have that.
That I don't have.
No,
I don't have that.
It's probably cheaper to sign up for Peacock and then sign off of Peacock, you know what I mean? Then pay $20. But also, if I go to the theater, it'll be $20, so whatever.
Yeah. It's true.
Whatever.
Movies here are $5 on Wednesday. That's where I saw American Fiction. And the theater was full.
Wow.
It was a full theater. I couldn't believe it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But it's a great movie. Go see it. Next week, Zone of Interest.
Oh my god, I'll try to watch a featurette or something to brush up.
Okay.
It's been a long time. It's been a month, you know, more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Well,
sorry for that episode. All I can do is apologize for that.
No apologizing. Anyone who made it this far deserves no apology. Maybe we should apologize at the beginning.
All 12 of you who are still listening, hope you liked it.
This is just a channel.
I just want to one more recommendation. Please, if you're not listening to Poog, listen to the last few episodes of Poog, because they've been playing excerpts from their live tour, and the way that they handle their live shows is truly conceptual, where they just, like, they go with the flow, and then occasionally it turns into this, like, incredibly joyful participatory event. Like, they got into a conversation about twins in one of their live shows, and they were like, who here is a twin? And then, like, it turned out a lot of people there had twins. They brought them all up on stage. Okay. They started, like, interviewing them about being twins. The entire show became about twins. And I was
incredible.
Like, wow.
Is it basically supposed to be, like, a podcast? Like, the show? It's just them
the
talking.
Live show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like, what their structure is, but the first kind of excerpts from the live shows, they would basically talk only about how they got from this city to the next city. So everything
That's
they talked
fun.
About is, like, what happened in the last 24 hours.
Okay. Maybe I'll paint something and listen to it.
It's great, I have to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll make this cake and listen to it.
Have fun. Okay.
Hedy McKinnon, get that book. Be a vegetarian. Wonderful. Okay.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. We love you.
Goodbye.